Brian, did you know that you can actually watch videos on Spotify?
Really?
So this past week, I mean, I think like they're actually video episodes.
Have you done this?
I've done it.
Oh, okay.
So there's.
Well, why'd you say you think if you've done this?
It's a good question. It just speaks to my, you know, lack of confidence in all things podcasts. But no, so like if you just listen to on Spotify,
right?
It's actually a video episode, so it pops up same way that you on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, you're watching us on Spotify. You're listening on Spotify. You're listening on YouTube. What's up?
I don't know if it's been so long since we recorded. I don't know if I'm supposed to. Why are you looking over my head? Oh.
If you're just listening, we still don't know where to look.
We didn't even plan that. We pulled it off.
Well done. Man, so it's, yeah, you feel kind of busy right now, Brian. You got a lot going on.
There's a lot happening.
But you know what? You're doing a good job.
Yeah.
You got a new tattoo this week, too.
Can I lift my?
Oh, I don't know. Suddenly,
my mom doesn't. Now she knows.
Oh, no.
Good job, Corey.
Were you keeping that a secret?
No.
Okay.
She's fine.
That's cool. But yeah, so anyway.
I'm a 41-year-old man.
It's a big week for me.
You turn 40.
I turn 40 tomorrow.
Happy birthday.
But when you listen to this, it's probably like a month and a half old. So I'm already old. Did you know Brian is my inspiration and my wife in terms of... I got suckered into doing an Ironman with
We're
Brian,
doing it.
Which is, that's not me, man. I do a lot of I play football, basketball, but I've never done any long swimming, running, or biking. So let's just do it all at once.
All at once.
Fighting the old man-ness. But you know, sometimes it's just good to work hard, do something hard. But anyway, so Brian and I, we're probably just tired on top of everything else. And you know what's good? So
good luck with this episode. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm trying to make a tie here.
Oh, okay.
Because I think there's this temptation in the professional ministry world, but probably anywhere, that they're, you know, let's just go bigger and better. We're going to pour a lot of effort into these maybe programs or whatever to reach a lot of people, do big. We always think big. But you know what? Maybe in our own fatigue, our own lack of ability to do a lot because we got a lot on our plate, what if we just focus on the small that can multiply? You know what I'm talking about, Brian?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So really, you know, we've been cruising in 248s, just their research on disciple-making movements in urban contexts. And we've actually have episodes titled Focus on the Few to Reach the Many. Well, that's actually the topic. What is that? What is weeks?
I don't think we've titled any in this series.
Not in this series, actually as KC Underground
way
podcast.
Way back when. Yeah.
This is a key concept in movements that you focus on the few to reach the many. And so this is our introduction episode to this next topic that 248 has observed in talking to urban disciple makers, is that this is such a key practice for all urban disciple making movements, is you got to find the few and you spend some time with that few, and you don't try to scatter yourself to do relationships with lots and lots of people. You focus on the few who can replicate, who can reach the many. This is so similar to five other topics that we've talked about. We've talked about this a lot. And so we might try to, I don't know what nuances we have in this episode, but this is such a key concept, I think. Whoa.
You're distracted by your own finger. You're like
a, new.
You're like a not even an infant. I have fingers.
I think we should talk about it in two ways.
I have an idea too.
Ooh, okay. So let's start with the good idea and then we can hear yours. I think we should talk about it in terms of, catalytic, where the professional Christians finding and mobilizing people to reach a whole city. Then let's just spend a couple minutes on that because, you know, people are bored with us talking about that. And then what does it look like for the regular human in their regular missional context, their regular setting in life? How does this concept of reach the few to reach the many play out? So let's look at those two. But I want to hear your lesser idea.
Well, I think it probably fits within that second one more as a case study that I would like to get some feedback from you on, just in light of leading a missionary pathway cohort huddle recently and having someone in that group who is very committed to reaching many people in many different contexts. I'll get there. later, I guess.
Yeah.
You want to go around to that later? So you
ready? That sounds good.
Okay.
Let's do that later. I mean, I'm intrigued. You know, you kind of just dangle that out there, but I'm intrigued. Yeah.
Well, it's important, I think, to start just with the context, the framework of why are we talking about this 248? If you recall, if you haven't downloaded this, if like this is your first time listening, mm-hmm. go to 248.org, I think. Spelled out, no numbers.
Right.
Download the resource of urban movements. And definitely, we have talked about focus on the few to reach the many. Mm-hmm. This is like a principle. This is one of the first principles I think you would have taught me in light of disciple making movements, how we think about it in the West because of how we've seen it in a global context. But 248 is also framing this in light of urban movements.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe let's just like that may not have been something that we've done necessarily in the past to go like, let's take a couple minutes and go in light of urban movements. Why is it important to think this way?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think we have touched on it some, but like, yeah, it's probably overwhelming. I mean, we always start at this point of we want to reach a whole area. We want to reach a whole city. We call it gospel saturation, or just think of it in terms of, you know, multiplication for a whole city. It's overwhelming. You know, if you really stop and think like our ministry calling is to reach all of Kansas City, it's overwhelming. Like, so just even on a very strategic level, like we can try to build a lot of really big things, or we can try to build small things that are agile. But in terms of like an urban context, maybe differing from a rural context is the complexity of so many different people groups and so many different areas and so many nuanced ways that it's just like, man, and then people moving in and out. We've talked about these concepts a lot on this series. Is that like our minds can't even fathom. Like we can't even wrap our minds around solid strategies sometimes to reach outside of just, I got to focus on the few who can reach the many. I just got to do the simple things that can replicate. And so maybe even more so than a rural context, because of the complexity of an urban context, you're forced to think this way. And so that's the first thing that pops in my mind in terms of an urban context.
Yeah, maybe the only thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the urban, whatever, it's complex.
Yeah.
The urban setting is complex. While you were talking about the complexities of that, I was thinking about this recent video we made of Leah.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, I think you can jump on the YouTube and find it somewhere.
Okay. So we've released that'll be a publicly.
I think it will be on our channel by then, by the time this episode drops.
Cool.
So this is, Leah is connecting with primarily Hispanic immigrants and helping navigate some of the complexities of all of the immigration stuff, but down to the granular stuff of making doctor's appointments for people that are struggling with our language or how to do that in this culture or in this city and don't have access to reading and writing. Like she's translating. It's just a beautiful story of mm-hmm. an ordinary person stepping into, these are my people.
Yeah.
This is where I've been called. I'm doing this work.
Mm-hmm.
So while you're talking about the complexities of the urban environment, thinking about the underground that wants to reach the whole thing, there are hundreds of broken places, places where it just doesn't work well. And we can't create an organization from the beginning that is like, okay, we're going to address all of these things.
Right.
We're going to hit every single one of them.
Yep.
Uh-oh. The decline that call. That'll be recorded now.
That's good.
Shout out. I had a call. That's never happened.
That's never once happened.
Yeah. That was new. Anyway, totally, back to it.
Totally threw you off. Keep going.
So there's... you know, it's like, how do we find the Leahs
mm-hmm.
that are all going like, well, this is my specific thing. So I'm going after this one specific thing.
Yeah.
And she's reaching her context. And then there's the Casey's. It's reaching his context.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody's going after their specific thing. If we find the few that reach their pockets mm-hmm. over and over and over mm-hmm. again, then they'll slowly build a larger network that is reaching all of those things. But like, we can't start with the mindset that we're going to do all of this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't speak Spanish. So I can't like actually engage that context and do that work anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you just do a lot of like pantomime, you know, just,
I know.
Like,
and the screen is so big. So I'm like trying to get my hands like in here.
Yeah, no, totally. No, no, no. if you're just listening, some of this doesn't make any sense. I remember sitting down with some friends who do movement things, and most of our strategies in life is we're going to find a small handful of people and we're going to pour a lot into them and they're going to multiply. Well, in one sense, that is the topic of today, focus on the few to reach the many. What Underground has tried to do, we're like, what if we can set up systems and enough relationships so we have enough people investing in the little at the same time? And that's probably the difference. I think you, Rob, others, like just you guys think so strategically when it comes to systems that we actually, you know, in the beginning when we launched Underground, we had 72 people with us that had 72 unique contexts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we figured out a way to really pour into, it wasn't actually the few, it was kind of the many, but it was still so micro focused.
Yeah.
That 72 people had a very specific context and we create systems to help focus on the few. I think we have just strategically in a lot of the movement worlds, at least in the West, we just haven't done a very good job of thinking outside the box a little bit. Like we don't just have to do this one little thing. And then we pour so much into a handful of people and then they move and it's hard. Like that's the reality. But let's try to do, like we're trying to set up systems where we can do that a lot more places throughout the city. But man, you're just new and you're by yourself or you have a small team. You know, you just do what you do. You got to focus on the few. But I think that's probably something unique that we've been trying to do from day one.
Well, and you said like we had, quote unquote, the many. But it's like, I mean, 72 in light of 2.1 million, right. 2.4 million people, you know, it's like and that number has grown, but it's still just a microcosm.
That's true.
Like yesterday, I went downtown to do this tattoo and I got a new tattoo.
Did you have a new tattoo?
Yeah. Okay. And I was downtown early. And so I've told you this before, like I do, I just drove around, found some new neighborhoods and I was like, this exists.
Yeah.
This is here in our city and I've never been here before.
Yeah.
I just go get lost and then I have to pull up MapQuest.
Right.
MapQuest.
And then MapQuest is like, Google Maps. Caution.
Yeah.
It's 1999.
Yeah.
MapQuest. If you didn't know, Brian is in his 40s. All
right. Anyway, the point is, it was like I thought to myself yesterday, I was like, I've never been here before. I wonder if we have any missionaries down here.
So you pulled up askjeeves.com.
You can bing it.
Bing.
And it's just cool to think about. It's humbling to think about, like, we need a missionary on this street.
Yeah.
We need to see a microchurch in this network over here.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, like you said, daunting. But again, it's not if we have this posture of like, it's not our job.
Mm.
Like as we're calling people to find the few to reach the many, as we do this work of equipping people, it's still not our job to hold the weight of it. Yeah. Like Jesus has got that.
Yeah.
He's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So like I used to feel a lot more weight when I do that, like, oh gosh, we're not doing enough. And now I'm like, Lord, bring someone. That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're here for it. We want to celebrate it when it happens.
Yeah.
And to take that posture of like, we need a missionary over here. We don't need thousands in this neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ultimately we hope there are thousands of disciples, disciple makers, but like Lord, send someone.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe to sum up that, we're still kind of talking big picture. From your perspective, how do you hold that tension? You're kind of talking about it right now, so maybe we have no new things to say with it, but we hold that those two things to be simultaneously true, is that we start with the posture of we're going to reach everyone everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to set ourselves up to do that.
I think that's so critical.
At the same time, we're focusing on the few. Like, mm-hmm. like that kingdom principle is really at the heart of movement. Like how do you wrestle with that tension, like big picture wise, and then we'll zoom in for the normal human.
A phrase came to mind. It's not a phrase. It's not fully formed because I'm trying to figure out what the second word would be. But I would say one is motivation and one is action strategy.
Totally.
How it plays out on the ground. And I should not confuse my motivation with how I go about doing the work, which I would say I did for a long time.
That's good. Yeah, I hear it.
The motivation of like, we have to reach a whole city. And suddenly I'm like, if I'm not doing that, I feel some like, I'm crumbling under the, if you're watching this, you can see it.
So slowly shrinking,
Yeah. Just like, oh, we got to reach a whole city and we're not big enough yet. We're not doing enough. And over the last couple of years, specifically understanding how to detangle the emotion or the motivation, maybe it's like motivation and responsibility. Like one is like, yes, I'm motivated towards gospel saturation because not because of something I made up, but because biblically I believe Jesus wants to see the kingdom come on earth as in heaven.
Yeah.
I think he wants to see all of the city look like it's made whole, like flourishing in every possible way. I'm motivated by that. I want to see that too. But my responsibility is only what I can do, which is not reach a whole city.
Man, that's really good.
My responsibility is find the few that can reach. I don't even know if it's find the few to reach the many. Sorry, 248, but it's like find the few that reach their few, that reach their few, that reach their few.
Yeah. Yeah. No, actually, I've been like reading through the explanation and the interviews that they had that, you know, we say reach the many, but you're right. Most of the time it's find the few who, they'll just replicate, like be willing to replicate it eventually, be willing to be immediately obedient to Jesus. But like, you're right. Like the examples they give are mostly even just like, all right, I'm reaching these three people and these people each have two or three of their own people. Every once in a while, you're going to find like that super spreader, right? I mean, that we have some of those in Kansas City. Like we reach find that super spreader and they have all these, this influence and all these relationships. And it's like,
that's the nuance I want to get after.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I think just to touch on and finish what you were saying, or yeah, kind of your answer to my question before, is I do think if you're a leader in like, in terms of like a, you know, ministry leader, you have a, you're thinking about mobilizing a church or a group of people to live into movement concepts and disciple making and micro churches. You want to start with, we're going to reach a city because that will structurally determine a lot of what you're going to do. Like you've got to have it. So it's like, all right, what are lightweight structures? How we support leaders? We can't just think this one program. We got to think about how we can replicate and multiply in all these different settings. So that's really going to help you on a strategic level. It's also going to help you. The thing we talk about a lot is prayer. It's going to bring you to your knees in a sort of desperation because it's such a grand vision. We always talk, we think about the 11 disciples that are hearing Jesus give the Great Commission. And you're just like, what? Like, are you serious? Like there's 11 of us. And you said, reach everywhere, everyone. You know, so that's that same feel. You reach in a city of 2.4 million, like we are, and we say different numbers, 2.4 million is more accurate nowadays, that we're saying we have got to start there. We got to structurally set ourselves up to multiply and it's lightweight and we got to pray a ton. I'm everyday Susie.
I see what you did there.
All right. My wife is named Suze, which you will hear. Oh, you just heard, right?
Yeah.
So this is the next topic.
Yeah, just a couple
so you
weeks
probably
ago.
Would have just heard some of her testimony. But let's say I'm everyday Susie. I'm on the ground. I don't need to think about reaching my whole city.
Suze.
I know. Well, her name is Suze. But I'm this fictional person named Susie. Okay. I'm everyday Johnny. All right. John.
I feel better about this.
yeah, that's good. Yeah. Less potential, you know, minds that I'm going to step in this conversation. Yeah. All right. So I am everyday Johnny. And I just have my place. I go to my gym. I have got a bunch of relationships. Or I was talking to my friend John. Everyday Johnny. So John, if you're hearing this, and he was telling me about, he spends a ton of time. So he's a single guy about my age. He spends a ton of time at a local hookah lounge. And he says there's like this very specific kind of like ecosystem of relationships that happen and why people are here. But there's like, even within the hookah lounge, there's groups of people. There's little pockets. So it's this relational setting missional context, and in that there's nuanced missional context. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just talking to him like, dude, you're about to have some hookah churches.
Yeah.
You know, and he's describing to me these different pockets. So I'm everyday Johnny. Like, I'm not thinking I'm going to reach the whole city. I'm thinking hookah lounge.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of these people. What does it mean to find the few who can reach others in the hookah lounge? Right. So if you now you're a normal person, you're not thinking structurally reach a whole city. You're just thinking your context. How does this apply? How does reaching the few to reach the many apply in a very specific context like Johnny in hookah lounge?
Are you asking me now?
Yeah, I'm throwing it out there. I'm pausing to drink water. But is there, I mean, we've talked about this so many times, but is there anything specific that jumps to your mind about that? If not.
Man, I was trying to like set up for this next thing. So I
it's the worst. I'm sorry. This is an example of Brian not listening to me when I talk.
Well, I was listening. So how do you support him? Is that what you're saying?
No, now we're just, well, okay.
Sorry.
Maybe the general point that I'm making is that it's also applicable for the everyday person.
Yes. 100%.
Is that we don't have to think about reaching everyone in my neighborhood right now.
This is embarrassing.
I don't need to reach everyone in the hookah lounge right now. I need to find those who are spiritually interested and begin to pour into those that are, and it'll grow. You know, and you find not everyone. Here's the thing that maybe this is the truth of disciple making that's multiplicative. Not everyone is going to multiply.
Nope.
Maybe most aren't, or at least not immediately, but there are some that will. Pour into those.
Not everybody's going to multiply, or not everybody's going to reproduce.
Yeah.
Agreed.
But also
there's a nuance in that where it's like, I want to be careful not to have some expectation that reproduction has to look the same for everyone.
That's true too.
Like the number of like multiplication kind of just has that mindset of like, it's a whole bunch.
Yeah.
And then suddenly that's better than I was, you know, personality, place of life, season, whatever. Like there's two people I'm really giving myself away to, but if I do that well, like the reproduction is there, which kind of takes me back to like, the comment you made about the super spreader. Some of them will be that, you know, which I really am sorry. I was trying to set this up and
Okay. You blew it.
Thinking about ordinary people
blew it
and what they do. And they don't have to reach the whole thing. Right. Like in fact, it's better. I think this is what I wanted to get into to get some feedback on it. It's better if they don't, I think. But then you brought up the super spreader and it's like some people are that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was curious if there's not maybe a nuance of catalyzer versus disciple maker when you start thinking about super spreader.
Yeah.
That a catalyzer can be a disciple maker that is reproducing among finding the few among the many. Yeah. But like a catalyzer or a disciple maker doesn't have to be a catalyzer.
Yeah.
That some people are just really good at like lighting fires in all these places and getting stuff started. But we don't all have to fit in that
totally
kind of mold. But we can all be focused on our two or three.
Yeah. No, that's really good. It takes the pressure off of people to do too much. Just join God where he's got you.
It does, but it also actually helps me reframe this person that I was going to pull up, even though I think this person is trying to be a catalyzer when they should probably be a disciple maker.
Mm.
Because I think you can be a catalyzer also and not be a disciple maker.
Yeah.
And feel like you're doing this amazing, beautiful work that's about this deep.
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
Which may be in some ways just really dangerous.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's still bringing in some of the old paradigm of like conversion, helping, doing something. But anyway, leading this, we'll just call it a cohort that happens to last 7 weeks. And I always give people this talk at the beginning of half of you at least are over talkers and you need to edit yourself and be quiet. And half of you are under talkers and you probably have really brilliant things to say and we need to hear from you. And
what am I?
I don't know.
Okay. Continue on.
I let people self-identify and try not to say it. This person is clearly an over-talker and refused to take the advice.
Totally.
So we're going through this and like every time this person talked, it was just this like, here's all the things I'm doing. Here's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Here's all the things. Feel all the things. This is amazing stuff. I'm doing all these things.
Yeah.
And then like 3 weeks in, I get this really long text that was a little bit of like, here's why I'm not showing up anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't like your technology, essentially. And you have no idea, but my time is spent with people. I don't have time for technology. I have found I'm doing very similar to what you're teaching. There's too many people that need my help. I can sit here and talk about it, or I can just go do it.
Yeah.
But like when I read that, I was like, well, that's a really long text. It was, I have more context behind this text though.
Yeah.
Right. So if like you just heard that, it's like, yeah, totally. Like, let's not just sit and talk about it. Like, let's go find the issue is for this person. There was a ton of different contexts they were existing in. And it was like just helping. And I've had this sort of conviction of, but are you disciple making? Is it the 3.5 years of Jesus with these 12 guys going like, we barely scratched the surface of the time that he spent with them. And we've got some beautiful stories of how he encouraged them, how he challenged them, how he equipped them. But it's just like, it seems to be 12 guys and they reach their people. And I don't know, just the super spreader, catalyzer versus disciple maker seemed to be something to bring into this, like, final few to reach them anywhere.
It's good.
Like, we can't have the weight of like trying to do it all.
And
if we really want to find the few that will reach the many, we also have to help the few, like, we have to give them our lives.
Yeah. 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 Caden asked me recently, intern Caden. He's not actually an intern, but we call him intern Caden because he sat in the corner here for a couple podcasts.
Where is he? Should be back.
He's got a real job. Caden's awesome. He asked me, I mean, it's like, he just can't be here at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock on Thursdays, right? Brother's got to work, you know? Okay. He asked me recently, it's like, hey, how many contexts do you think I can be in? Because he's going all in. We're creating some stuff for young adults. But God kind of put on his heart this other group of people. And I essentially answered, dude, if it's your people, probably only one, maybe two. Like, you've got to focus. If you're like the, I always say, the incarnational missionary, as in, this is my people. I have a reason to exist here. I can only do that well, one, maybe two places. Like, I think that's what you say that kind of stuff a lot. Cause
I got it from Rob.
Yeah. And it's just true. It's just our own time. I was like, but if you're more of a catalytic role and you're an outsider and you can come alongside one or two other people, give them your time and give them a lot of time, but not give them your lifetime. Like we do on the ground, then you can catalyze a handful of things around the same time. But you do have a very specific role, and you know, I'm not this and I can't be this because I have to find the insider. And so that is 100% just true on the ground for any of us. And I do think there's actually a lot of just normal, ordinary followers of Jesus that find themselves in a handful of pockets, but their primary pocket is their incarnational. This is me. I'm living in this, but I might be able to help this other person doing this thing. Like that is still, reach the few to reach the many. But you mentioned something that kind of goes along with it, where like Jesus spent his time with his disciples and they were just kind of reaching their people. But ironically, the disciples were the sent one who really were catalysts, that went to these places. But even in their catalyticness, like especially Paul later, who was, kind of grafted into that apostle role. He spent a lot of time somewhere in a new place with new leaders. Like, I mean, sometimes he spent short time, but generally, I mean, he would sit there for a couple
years. Well, he names the people too, that he's very close to.
Yeah. Like there's a deeper investment to a handful of people who are leaders or are leading in their own context. And so just understand, I think your example that you brought up of that person dropping out of the missionary pathway.
Sorry.
Is that, I don't know what that got me. Is that I resonate with that. because my temptation is to be that person.
Right.
Because I want to start stuff and I know, and in my unhealth years ago, I'm just like, how many people can I know? Mm-hmm. Any movement type of stuff in the city, I want in some way to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. So I want to know these people. And there was, God's done deep healing in my life over the last handful of years where I'm like, kind of now I'm the opposite. I'm like, I want to not be known.
You're going hard after one context.
Yeah. And I still have a lot of these residual relationships. So I end up mentoring on the side, a lot of things, but my focus is I'm going to be here for a couple of years at least, you know, and really drill in and do this thing. But yeah, I got to get, and I don't know this person and I'm not saying this is what they think, but maybe I can't reach a city. Only God can reach a city. I can't reach a city. Only God's people, multiple people can reach a city. I've got my role. Even if I am like hardcore catalyst, you know, I'm someone, I have high capacity, I can do all these things. If I'm that involved in that many contexts, I'm probably not healthy.
Yeah.
I'm probably not creating healthy disciples.
Yeah.
You know, what I'm modeling to people is unhealthy. I've got a handful of people I've done ministry with alongside who I would put in that category of like, you probably just need your spiritual discipline should probably just like, don't do anything for a couple of days a week.
Bro, I feel like we're, I know we're 200 something episodes in now, and it'd be not that we should just download all the episodes and drop them into ChatGPT or something and be like, ask ChatGPT to go, hey, analyze these episodes and tell us what's the biggest change over the last 200 something episodes. I think ChatGPT would be like, in the beginning, you used to guilt people to do a lot of it. Sounds like you're far more healthy in your perspective and understand that you are just one person that has a few things to do.
Yeah. Well, if ChatGPT discovers that.
I'm not doing that work.
Yeah, that's a lot of work. But I like that we can summarize what we assume ChatGPT would say. No, I agree. I totally agree. And maybe that's just our own personal journeys.
Yeah, totally.
But I think, I'm connected to a lot of pockets that seek disciple-making movements in the Western context, right? And I just happen to be in those conversations a lot. I actually think that's a trend that a ton of these groups, and there's some of these groups that are way more like hyper, like evangelism all the time, like go, like there's a lot of these pockets I'm connected with. And they're leaning in to concepts of health, spiritual health, discipline, slow down. And I get it, man. We are driven by this deep desire for the kingdom of God to break through and bring healing and restoration in our city. We have to see disciples made. We can't keep getting dominated by population growth. We have to multiply disciples. Like, we're driven by that stuff. And then we're a few years into it and we're like, we got to be driven by that, but we got to be more driven by abiding in Jesus and knowing my identity in him and understanding my own weakness. And I am not all these things to everyone, and I can't be, and I can only be like I don't know if you get the devotions from Henry Nouwen Foundation. And I don't usually.
I'm glad you said foundation, 'cause I was like,
he texted me.
He's dead.
What? Who texted me? No, so the Henry Nouwen, I think it's Foundation or Institute or whatever it is. And I was actually doing a little coaching call with Jill Randall yesterday. She's been on this podcast a couple times, and she mentioned, and the whole thing is just, you are not your success. Mm-hmm. You are not the result of ministry. You're beloved, right? And those are the things that, just as someone who's doing ministry vocationally, it's like, I've been sitting in that for years. Like, that's so much of what God is doing consistently. And that's so much of my own devotional life, is to continually speak those promises to myself and to God. But I think it's true for any one of us called in any ministry setting. I am not the success or unsuccess of what happens here. Mm-hmm. I'm joining God on mission. Everything goes back to that sentence that we always say, God, what are you up to? Mm-hmm. And how can I join you? Yeah. Like, that alone, if you do that intentionally, should help you live in that tension of going slow, but having a big vision.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I would just say, final encouragement as we wrap up, who are your few? Can you name them? Do you know their faces? Do you know what their story is? And it's not, you know, just like excise the word many from find the few to reach. Just find the few and give them your life and let the many sort itself out.
Okay.